Well, did any of you get to enjoy the day? I spent my whole day inside. Like, of all the days to spend inside, it was a beautiful day. Oh, well. I'm praising God. Well, let's open with prayer this evening. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the word. We thank you for what we're about to receive. Now, Lord God, I pray that you open our eyes, open our hearts, Father, that we may hear the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to us, that we may know the truth of what your word says. Lord, I pray now that anything that I say will not be misconstrued as heresies or false doctrines, Lord, but that people will understand what your word also says about creation. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just so you know, I threw that in there because I'm not teaching heresies or false doctrines. But I do know, and I have friends, who are of the mindset that the second you start teaching anything before Adam, you're a heretic. And they shut off and they will not listen to you and you're going to hell. And that is absolutely not the case. Because tonight we're going to, and I don't have any of the overhead stuff, so you're going to just have to... I would actually recommend on some of these scriptures you just take notes instead of trying to keep up with them, because I have them lined up and I will be boom, boom, boom. And some of the first part of it here, we're going to go back over just a few things, what we did last week in the very beginning to reestablish that primarily for this segment of teaching for anybody following online or on a CD. But you know, go ahead and turn to Genesis 1:1. Well, you don't have to. You know what it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. People want to know, how old is the earth? We don't know. Science really does not know. They've got a good idea that the earth is old. The church is the ones that said, no, the earth is only 10,000 years, or 6,000, or 7,000. I think in 1959, it was 6,000 years old is what they estimated. So we're looking maybe 7,000 years. And that's just because that's all the Bible backs. Well, there's things that happen that the Bible does not record as far as all of humankind. And so, does that mean that it didn't happen? No, it happened. But just because the Bible did not record it happening, some people just shut their minds off. But the beginning is the earth's history. It's way back, beyond what you can comprehend. The Bible says that God is the Ancient of Days. Honey, why don't you come over here? Pat, I'll just look at you and preach at you that way. How's that? Preach to you. There you go. Oh, she didn't want to come up here and get spit on. She saved that all for Miss Gloria. But anyhow, the word created is the word bara. It means to form or to fashion, to produce, create. It means they took something and he actually made something else out of it. Okay? That's what God did in the beginning. He took things, whether he spoke them into existence, all the things that make up the core of the earth, the mantle, and all of this stuff. I don't know where he got it from. I don't really care. We'll know that knowledge one day when we can comprehend it. Because I promise you, it's probably going to set everything we think on edge. Because we're going to be like, oh, slow down for a minute, God. I'm not keeping up. I always thought I'd love to know more about science class, and you know, thought I'd love to. I'd sit in science class, and it's like, "Oh dear God, what is he saying?" You know, I didn't comprehend a thing. So, for me, I'm just going to have to wait until God says, "This is how I did it. This is what I used." He had things, whether he made them right there on the spot, whether he spoke them in existence, said, "I want this," and he took that. But the truth of the matter is, we know through other verses in the Bible that God did things, he created things by hand. He took the time to fashion them. Man was a totally new creation. He took the time, he had to take the time to form us and fashion us. The earth at one point was the same way. God had to fashion it. The stars, the heavens, everything there, God had to fashion that. And I'll show you some of those scriptures here in a minute. But in Genesis 1:2, we see that the earth was without form and void. The without form and void is the verb tohu va bohu. And it means that it was desolate. It was destructed. It was barren. You think of to lie in waste. That's what it was. And everywhere that this word is used, in these verbs are used together in the Bible, it represents judgment. It means that God executed judgment and the land was laid to waste. It's not just two verbs that get stuck together, two descriptions of what happened. It says, oh, well, hey, it's tohu vabohu. No, because that's what Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 4:23, when he said, I looked and I saw, and the land was tohu vabohu. It was desolate. He's looking at the land of Israel, and I believe God gave him a vision instantly, because he said the sun was blotted out and all this. We have no recollection, no, to our knowledge, Israel has never had a day where the sun was totally blocked out over only the land of Israel. That's what would have had to have happened. But I believe Jeremiah saw a vision of the earth laying in judgment before. And we'll get into all that, why it was in judgment, because that's what tonight is about. Isaiah 45:18, God said he did not create the earth tohu vabohu. But yet in Genesis 1:2, that's how we find it. So if God said in Isaiah that he didn't create it that way, but that we find it that way, that tells us something happened that put it that way. Let me catch back up to my notes. Genesis 1:2, it also says, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And the word, again, is actually the word brood. And brooding means it to warm. But there's also another, not metaphor, but another aspect to look at this. The Holy Spirit is the executive branch of God's will. Jesus is the Word, the legal branch, okay? The Holy Spirit is the executive. He makes things happen. The Word comes out, the executive does it. And the Holy Spirit has always been, the Holy Spirit was the one that brought Jesus into existence, into Mary. He's the one who would have come down and hardened Pharaoh's heart. He's the one who did all that. He was the executive branch. And I believe that, as I got to thinking about this, you know, this is the, speaking against the Holy Spirit is the only thing that you can do that God will not forgive. And I thought, why? Why is that? You know, is it because, you know, because everybody says, well, maybe the Holy Spirit's the feminine qualities of God. And he's kind of, you know, like the males, the men, you don't talk about my wife. You don't talk about my mama. Even though I may hate my sister, you don't talk about my sister. She's not in here. No. But there's that side of a man that will rise up. You don't talk about my daughters. That will rise up, if he's any man at all, to defend the women in his life. And I thought, well, maybe that's it. But then I got to thinking, you know what? I got a feeling that's because the Holy Spirit is the executive branch of God. The Holy Spirit gets blamed for things that the Holy Spirit never did. And the Holy Spirit never gets the credit for the things that he did do. And God is a little tired of that. So that's just out there for you. That has no actual theological standings, but neither is, nobody can tell you exactly what blaspheming the Holy Ghost is. Because if there's the case that it is just talking about against the Holy Ghost or things of the Holy Ghost, then there's a good chance a lot of people have violated that. And I've been told by other people that it's actually very difficult to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which just simply means to talk against. It would be no difference if I was just out gossiping about somebody else. So the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the earth, the entire face. Now you got to think about it. We still have this connotation of the Holy Spirit in our mind that he's a little dove coming down. Or maybe a tongue of fire. We're going to get into that on Sundays. I'm trying to wait closer till the actual Pentecost to be talking about this, just for my own purposes. But the day that they were engulfed, that it says that tongues of fire lit upon them, the word doesn't actually describe that these little tongues came and was over their heads like I see in all the pictures. The word that describes it means they were engulfed in flames of fire. Yeah, they were the human torch. You know, they just, and they were flames. They were a huge tongue of fire. The Holy Spirit was burning in them like that. And So the Holy Spirit, I believe, was the executive branch of judgment at this point. And the Holy Spirit was blocking out the Son in all light in any way. Because if you look, the very next thing it says, God said, let there be light. But yet we go a couple verses down, the light doesn't get, the sun, as we know, is not technically created. But yet it was dirt, it was dark. And God said, let there be light. And he started the cycle right then and there of day and night. So there, I'm going to be studying that out more and more because I'm thinking, okay, God, there's some words I want to really study out and find out what they might mean. Yeah. So yeah, we don't know what all actually took place here. But whatever it was, God said it was beautiful. You know, you remember the picture that I had put up last week of the light over the center of the earth. And that was, by the way, that was created just for this day. It was a creation website that produced that one. And God said, it's beautiful. It's good. See, everything God creates is good. He says, let there be light. And automatically, it's good. But yet the earth, we look at it, and it's waste. Okay, it's a dung heap. Let's just put it in. It's a pile of poo to get you to get in the right mindset. Because we say, well, waste. Oh, it's trash. That's not good. God didn't look down and say, this is good. But yet when he started, the earth was here, and he started calling things out of it and says, this is good. This is good. This is good. And again, the word let is more of a word giving permission for something to exist, something to happen. It is not, there are several words. There's asah and bara that were two used words for create in this segment of scripture. And one means to actually form, and the other one, I did not write that one down, but asah is the other one. Bara means to create from and make something that did not exist. And the other one is basically to restore what existed. So there are things that you have to look into the Bible. Again, God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. That in and of itself tells a lot. But there are other things. Like in Job chapter 38, verse 4, Job's having a little pity party. You all know a little bit about Job. And you know, I pick on Job sometimes, but rightfully so. I mean, I'm not rightfully so, but he had a right, if we're going to look at it, to whine a little bit. His friends betray him. They pretty much say, his wife's telling him to curse God and die. His friends say, you're a sinner. He's like, I've done nothing wrong. And now he's got boils, he can't sit, he can't stand, he can't lay down, they're on top of his head, he's miserable, he's lost his children, he's lost his means of life, all in a period of 6 months. And so he starts getting a little whiny. You know, we get a little 6-hour bad day and we get a little cranky. Job's been putting up with this for darn near 6 months. And God comes down and says, listen, in chapter 38, verse 4, he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? The word laid is a verb that means you did something, that you've put something somewhere. If we were to just go by Genesis and say, hey, God said, boom, it happened, then we just nullified this one. We nullified Psalm 104:5 that says, you who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. God laid the foundations of this earth. There are foundations in this earth. I was trying to find I found the pictures, but I just could not find the site that actually recorded about this thing. But there are places in the earth, and I believe there are 7 of them, that are in the earth's, let's see, we got the mantle, was it the crust, is that what's below us? Or is the crust on top? What's the one layer? Well, the bedrock layer. Anyhow, this bedrock layer is what we usually build, drive pylons down to build tall buildings and stuff. But a lot of the bedrock still can move. But there are 7 places in the earth that do not. They cannot move. And there is a rift, it's called the Eastern Rift in Africa. And it runs from, I believe, Nairobi, Kenya, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's on the east coast of Africa, all the way to Syria. This is a wide open gap in the face of the earth. And if you're wondering, it's huge. It's got some of the deepest lakes, and it's just massive. But it stopped dead in its tracks in Africa. And they said what it hit a formation that it could not move. That whatever this formation is, it could not move it. It couldn't break it. It couldn't do it. And we're talking, just to give you an idea, this is the rift that runs up the east coast of Africa, through the Red Sea, through the Gulf of Aden. And boat, by the way, you got the Gulf of Aden and Aqueduct, I believe. It goes up the right channel in the Gulf and follows right on up, goes through the Dead Sea, the River Jordan, the Sea of Galilee, and on into Syria. That is that rift. It's also the rift that is close to Sodom and Gomorrah. But that's a little future down the road. But this thing hit something. It hit what I believe is, and that's what this site was talking about, was the foundations of the earth. That it hit it and it could not move it. We're talking something, ladies and gentlemen, that creates oceans. It's not just a little tremor. It's not a little crack in the earth. It's massive. It was a force, and it stopped dead in its tracks because God set them so that they would not move. Now, Psalm 102, verse 25. David said, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." In day four, we see where God is restoring the heavens. But nowhere does it say that he used his hands. He did not use the word bara. He did not use the word that meant he took the time to form them. Matter of fact, David elsewhere says, "You hung the stars each in their place." I believe it's Hebrews says that he prepared the framework. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not getting ahead of myself. I just didn't write that word down. But in Scripture, it says that he prepared the heavens. That meant he took the time to erect and set things up. God placed all the stars where he wanted them. And the constellations, this would just be a freebie. The constellations are a thing from God. He says, "Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you lead the mother bear and her cubs?" God asks him if he can do this with the constellations. Constellations aren't evil, ladies and gentlemen. Studying the stars is not evil. Thinking your future lies in the stars is stupid. Yeah. There's no horoscope going to come out. "Ooh, I was born." The only person who was born under a star that should be of concern was Jesus Christ. Because that one was foretold. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Peter's talking about the people, a degenerate generation. And I don't know about you, but if you have not been paying attention to the news lately, it'll break your heart in some cases. But it really should open our eyes to just how perverted we have become as a human race. But Peter's talking about his generation, the people that he's with, and how degenerate they were. He says, "For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water," meaning that there was earth, "by which the world that then existed perished." Now, a lot of people have said, well, this is Noah. This was the flood of Noah. "Being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth which are now." Did you catch that? God had to restore the heavens to the earth and everything in our creation. The flood of Noah, he did not. The sun shined. It rained for 40 days and nights. That was it. He was in the flood, or he was in the ark, a total of 150 days. God did not have to restore the sun to come back and shine. He did not have to restore the moon, the stars. He did not restore anything. He didn't have to recreate animals. He did not have to create man because he saved man. He saved the animals. All the fish, they lucked out. Matter of fact, they gained a little free roaming ground, which again goes to prove the whole worldwide flood thing. He says, but the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He is talking about two different floods. I mean, he's talking about a different flood than what we know of in the book of Genesis, for sure. And I don't think it was up until the mid-1900s. I guess he said it's been in the last 100 years that man has started to finally maybe figure this out, some of it. Is that maybe the earth was around before Adam. Now, I will tell you, there are some other things, and I will try to hit on them here quickly. One way we know that this is not the flood of Noah, besides the fact God did not have to restore the heavens and all this stuff back, they were just there. The word for world meaning is the word cosmos. It is the arrangement of things, the society, the way of life. Did God have to restore that with Noah? Or did Noah just get off the boat, plant some seeds and make a vineyard, get drunk and carry traditions on? Started right back into it. He did make a sacrifice. But he made sure he got that vineyard planted so he could get drunk. But he carried on the traditions that were on the other side of the flood. Now, I believe God knew that this was going to happen, and there was a certain amount of knowledge that came across with those eight people. There was a certain amount of intelligence that came across. As we go down, as we're going through this, I'm going to show you things that science and the Word of God are starting to back each other, even though the two, scientists and the church, refuse to acknowledge that they're supporting each other. But the intelligence level before the flood was off the charts. Adam did not have to be told what to call an animal. Would you have named a lion? And if you would have, would it have felt like the right name for it? You know what I'm saying? It's just like when you meet somebody and you find out what their name is, you're like, you just don't strike me as being that. There's just, sometimes your name just fits. And so I'm saying, everybody here, your name just fits. My name, somehow it fits, even as much as I didn't like it as a child. It fits. Adam named all these creatures. Now we're going to get into the earth before Adam, before the flood. We're going to find out some things. Because did anybody ever want to know, did you ever wonder, when did Satan fall? I read one commentary, I had to laugh. It said that Lucifer fell, that Lucifer was actually an angel, but that his captain was Satan. I just like, oh, dude, what did you hit your head on this morning when you typed that up? But another commentary said that since we have none, that obviously Lucifer fell between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I thought, boy, that's about as... No, they said this on the internet so the entire world could read it. This was on some sort of website. It's supposed to be Christian. Yes, you do. That's why I do not recommend just everybody go out and grab whatever and start reading. You've got to know what you've gotten your hands on, too. Because even though they call things ancient texts, better, you might want to make sure that it was an ancient text that was actually used. Because we've got all kinds of books being written now. There are Bibles being written now that they totally, what's the word I'm looking for? They emasculize God. They make him a eunuch. He's neither male nor female. He's just it. He's God. And he's not a he. They take away the blood of Jesus. you know, there's no mention of blood. We don't talk about blood. Boy, we get so sensitive. Anyhow, so Ezekiel chapter 28. I'll tell you to go ahead and turn to this one. As you do that, I'm going to get a water. Miss Claire, I will not set it on this because you will end up taking another bath tonight. Ezekiel chapter 28. Go to verse 11. What's that? Yeah. Well, if you kick it, you deserve the bath. That's all. That's why I had to write on this in big, big black letters. Do not lean on because it'll dump you forward. Ezekiel chapter 28:11 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God." Now, I want to stop there. Just before you read this, the whole segment before that, he said, take up a lamentation against the prince of Tyre. Okay, if you understand anything about a king and a prince, the king is the ruler. The prince is a puppet. He's the one that gets kind of blamed for things. You know, Prince Charles, he does things everybody looks at. He doesn't have any authority. There's a monarch on the throne ahead of him, the queen. She's the blood. She's the rightful monarch. God is dealing. He not only did he deal with the ruler of physical Tyre, he dealt with the spiritual ruler of Tyre. And that's what he's telling him to take it up. Because, again, I was reading in the commentations even here in this Bible, and they were saying, they were trying to say that this really wasn't describing Lucifer and all this stuff. And I'm like, what are you going on? Quit trying to appease everybody and be mamby-pamby. That's exactly what it's saying. So, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second. This is not the garden eastward in Eden. This is not the same. God called it Eden. He said, I planted the garden eastward in Eden. But this says the garden of God. Now, the word Eden means paradise. Okay? He was in paradise. Jesus said, you will be with me today in paradise. They were planted. God had to physically plant that garden for Adam and Eve to live in. He set up what I believe what he wanted them to do with the rest of this earth. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. By the way, the majority of them stones, let's see, let me get my count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's at least 9 of them listed there. All 9 of those are listed in the breastplate of the high priest. Who was before God. There's 12 of the stones total. But these 9 were all listed in the breastplate of the high priest when he would go in before God to offer the sacrifices. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Okay, you've heard me talk about how we always think when we talk about the devil, he's got all these horns, pointy things like bulls. They were pipes. They were musical instruments. He was literally a one-man band. Wherever he went, music was played. Think about that. And I just about wonder if it wasn't every breath he took, music was played. This was the image of Lucifer before. Like I said, now the world's got him being this big, honking, huge, muscular, fangular, horn-ridden beast with gnarly fingernails and stuff. Let me get back to where I was. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Do you ever wonder where people got the fire, the walking on fire stuff from? It's because Lucifer did it before God. There's some other things about Lucifer that people don't realize. He walked on fire. So not only has he got instruments coming out of him, but he could walk on that fire, those fiery stones before God. And I dare say it was the sheer presence and the power of God that caused those stones to ignite and burn like that. However, we know today if you walk on fire, you're either nuts, severely deranged on drugs, or you got some serious demonic activity in you. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. He became filled. The word violence is actually activity. Can I ask you a question? What was he trading? And with whom? He didn't trade anything with Adam and Eve. So he's talking about a time where he was trading something. And this is just going to be I'm going to call it a speculation, but this is the way I see it. What he was trading is he was in a world before Adam and Eve that existed. And it was here. The evidence is here. We have the physical proof that there was life before man. But I believe he began trading the praise. Everything that is created by God is to bring him glory. Even us. We're to bring God glory. They began trading with Lucifer the glory, the praise. And he was the covering cherub. He was the anointed one for the earth. This is what he covered. That's why he got thrown back here. And he began trading that, and he became filled. Activity began happening, and then he sinned. We'll look here in a little bit what actually took place. By the abundance of your trading, you were filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. So now we've got another picture of Lucifer. This is starting to happen in judgment. He's burning within a fire. It's consuming him, but it's not like this. It's not like the word of God, where his word is like a fire and we just can't hold it back any longer. This is a fire that is bringing him constant torment and torture. This is the fire that will be in hell for Lucifer and the angels and anybody who rejects Jesus Christ. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all you. Now, obviously, he did not necessarily turn him straight. He's not a pile of ashes here on the earth. Lucifer is a spiritual being who does not need a physical body. In the sight of all you who saw you, all who knew you among the people are astonished at you. You became a horror and shall be no more forever. In other words, you left what you were and you became something hideous and grotesque. You were no longer beautiful. Your pipes and your timbrels. So you got to imagine, okay, let's say he did that when he walked, this beautiful music would emanate from his very being. Now whenever he moved about, yeah, just a little out of tune. And he's in torture, so now he's tortured and the screams and the cries within him. He's no longer the thing that everybody said, ooh, we can look up to you. See, that's what the problem was. They began, just like what Israel did with Saul. They chose Saul. Wow, does time fly. They haven't even got into this. They chose Saul because of what he looked like, not because of his heart. They chose him because he was a head taller than everybody else. So if everybody was my height, here's Saul. He stuck out a head taller than everybody. They chose him because of what he looked like. The creatures and the beings on this earth chose Satan because of what he looked like. Ultimately, God would hold them all into contempt and they'd be judged. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, Jesus, the disciples came back there rejoicing that the demons and everything had to, they had authority over him. And Jesus just stopped and he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is a somber moment for him. Because, by the way, the word Lucifer means day star. It literally means day star. That's how bright he shone. That he would have been like the sun. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. In other words, God threw him. Because God said, I'll throw you out. God said, he said, I saw God throw him out of heaven so fast and furious that it was as lightning. The speed of light is how fast God, he fell. That he was just nothing but a blur of fire coming out. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. If you're going to ascend, where does that mean you are? Here's heaven, here you are. If you're going to ascend, it means you go up. So he's below heaven. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. There's a little interesting. He has a throne. He's going to exalt his throne, though, above God. Above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. Well, we also have a clue as to where God's throne sits. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is what he said, and God said, no, you don't. And God cast him out of heaven. Now, in Revelations, we read of the dragon and how the dragon, with the swipe of his tail, takes out a third of the stars of heaven. This is to represent that he took a third of heaven. Now, I cannot stand here and honestly tell you that it was at this particular moment when he decided to rebel or when it actually happened, because there's another time we got to look at some angels. People seem to forget there's another group of angels involved here. But there was probably some that went with him. And God cast them down to the earth. Now this is where science, geology, and the Word of God are actually starting to agree. In the Gulf of Mexico, in the Yucatan Peninsula, there is a crater called the Chicxulub Crater. This thing is 110 miles. Is it in circumference or diameter? I think it's 110 miles across. I want to read something to you about this. In March 2010, following the extensive analysis of the available evidence covering 20 years' worth of data spanning the fields of paleontology, geochemistry, climate modeling, geophysics, and sedimentology, 41 international experts from 33 institutions reviewed above available evidence and concluded that the impact at Chicxulub triggered the mass extinctions at the KPG boundary, including those of the dinosaurs. It killed everything on the face of the earth. Now, by the way, it is 110 miles in diameter. I'm trying to remember something that I actually ended up printing off the whole thing. But you got to understand what took place at this point. They said, you know, we know what tsunamis are now. You know, they're walls of water that are 100 feet. Scientists estimate because of the size, and this thing that hit the earth, they say it's a meteor. Well, Satan, Lucifer was the morning star. However that all worked out, I don't know. But he hit the earth so hard that it that he was buried into the earth in less than a second and created it. The shock waves alone, the 110-mile parameter, that was the shock waves. There's another inner core where the actual impact took place. You know, we've seen out west where you got these impacts of craters and they got these little, that's in the middle. The shock wave from this is 110 miles. And it's much further out. But they said that that impact caused so much dust and so much dirt to go up in the air that it would have blocked out the sun. And that it created not just tsunamis, but mega tsunamis. They're talking thousands of meters tall. We know what a 9-something earthquake created, and thousands of lives were lost. They said this thing, and then they said there's actually several other impacts that may have been about close to the same time. So it's like, oh, this is kind of interesting. There's like 127 or 172, I got those numbers. It's not on this one. Throughout the earth. And yet, it destroyed all of the life that was here. That was the end of the world. They're estimating, again, that it was 65 million years ago. And you know what? It very well could have been. I have no idea how long the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the earth. We have no idea. It would be foolish for us to sit here and argue about it and try to guess. But the one thing we can establish is that Lucifer was a king ruling, that there were beings. They were not man. They did not have spirits like man. I'm going to say that because right now I do know of several very well-known preachers that this is their doctrine, they're teaching it, that this is where we get demons from, which I can actually show you from another source that is backed by the Bible. That's not where we get demons from. These beings that were before man, if there were monkey-like things, I have no idea. But we are not created in their image. We are nothing like them. Could there have been monkeys? Yes, there very well could have been. But we're not descended from them. Everything that is here today was here 7,000 years ago, with the exception of those breeds that have been genetically created to be what they are. As I stated last week, we have breeds of dogs, we have breeds of cattle. They are the direct result of breeding. I believe a lot of the deer are the same way. You can look at certain deer and they've got similarities, but one may have a dark patch on its head and maybe be a little bigger. They've just been able to grow because of their environment. The deer around here are actually deer different from the whitetails in North Carolina because they're about this tall. But they're the same species. Yeah, still a deer. You get to take 5 of them. Just don't shoot your neighbor's dog in the process. And this is where I do agree with the Creation Museum in the fact that many of these species are just the way we are. Inside of me is the DNA, the genetics, to have a red-headed child. I know it because once my beard grows out beyond a couple days, it turns red. I have redheads in my family. Angela carries the gene as well. There are redheads in her family.
That's what he's telling
me
in my ear.
I was going to say, you do know that. Pat, we might want to get the door propped open. Jerry's going to need a head start. So inside many of those animals, inside certain dogs were the genes for other dogs, but they just did not happen until, like as I said last week, you take a Doberman Pinscher. You can have a purebred Doberman Pinscher, but they are not, they're a mutt. They're a cross between a greyhound and a Rottweiler. So those have been created by man. So we've got all these things. And then there's the animals that we extincted, that we killed off. Or they died because we killed their environment. Those are the only ones. But the creatures that are on the other side of the fossil record, yeah, there's going to be very good similarities because, like I said before, you take an artist, you'll be able to go down through there and be able to pick out which ones are his. Because he's going to have a certain flair. It doesn't matter what their art, what their gift is. Songs, poetry, you'll hear it. That's why when a musical group comes out with an album, or they even make, I'll be honest with you, there's Boston songs, I couldn't tell you the difference between when they started and when they've, any new ones they've got. Because they've carried the same flavor all the way through. It's the same way with God. He's got the same flavor. Of course you're going to find giant crocodiles on his. But man could not exist with a crocodile that's 50 feet long. And I do have a correction. Last week I told you that super snake was called Titanoboa. It's Titanoboa. Titanoboa. And I watched a special on it after that night. And I thank God the thing does not exist. They had a scale model of the thing made. I would be looking for a grenade launcher, C4, something. They said this thing, what's that? Patriot, yeah, something that big. But you have to realize the thing was 4 feet thick. The guy, they found it by accident. They pulled it, it was found in a mine with all these, they found a turtle shell that was bigger than a pool table, a legal size pool table. And they found the vertebrae, and they're pulling the vertebrae, and the guy pulls out, he's looking at this one, he's like, well, this doesn't match ones that were laying there with the turtle. And he started looking at it, so he starts going through modern skeletal records until he could find a vertebrae that resembled that one. And the one that he found that resembled that one was the anaconda. And he's doing a webcam thing with another scientist somewhere else in the world, and he's looking at it, and the guy says, do you know what you've got? He says, not really. He says, you've got the biggest snake that man has ever comprehended. He said, that snake would have to be squeezing tightly to get through your door right now, that it may not make it. So then that, they figured out about where this vertebrae, and they made this thing. It was huge and just massive. And I said, thank you, Lord, that you didn't put us in that period of time. Because they said they found something that was even more disturbing than that snake. And it was in the shell of the turtle. It was a line of teeth prints that were bigger than any of my fingers around. And it was a super croc. Now, if you can imagine a crocodile with a 10-foot head, I got a little nervous around alligators that were 10 feet long, completely. This thing's head is 10 feet and tons. So there was a world here. Lucifer had reign of it. And the beings and the creatures that were here were put here for God's enjoyment. God meant, you know, that's why we create zoos, because we don't know how to master the animals. We've lost that. I don't believe we will gain that until Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning on this earth again. But that's why we do it. Could you imagine walking out your front door and a pride of lions is walking down the path? And you can walk up and pet them. You can walk up and pet the lions or a Bengal tiger. I mean, we look at them and say, oh, they're just so cute and cuddly together until they go, boop. Or you walk out. I know this is going to freak some of you out. And there is a snake laying in your tree, sunning himself. And he says, good morning. That's the world God created. It's not the world we live in. I know, I can tell right now, Brenda's like, nope, nope. I know Karen, she's like, go get my shovel, I'm going to kill it. But the world God created and the world that exists today are not the same. I believe that there will come a time. The Bible says there will come a time that the lion will lay down with the young deer. It doesn't say the lamb, by the way. The wolf lays down with the lamb. There will come that time when there will be that peace. So when those two do that, guess what? We will be able to look at them and enjoy their beauty. I mean, to watch an eagle and the eagle come down. Last year I saw two eagles perched in a tree, and when I got, I'll bet I was still 100 yards off from them. They spooked. They didn't want anything to do with me. But I was just like, man, it's just so awesome. And then it didn't take them long, man. And they were probably 2,000 or 3,000 feet in the air. They were just specks in the sky. The earth, I believe, at one time was God's zoo. I was sharing with somebody today about, you know, I don't think that I think the early scientists and archaeologists and geologists, they kind of did dinosaurs a bad rap, in that they made them out to be vicious and, you know, all just brown and gray. And now scientists are starting to discover, wait a minute, the lizards we have today have beautiful colors. And not everything necessarily had leathery skin, because we found something with feathers on it. See what I'm talking about? So I'm going to do it and hold my water. But this is a world that God created in man for his enjoyment. And because the being that he put over it fell, he created a being just like himself to rule over the earth. Did you ever really wonder why Satan hated Adam so much? Why would he have a vendetta to get him right off the bat? Had Adam done anything to him yet? He took his place. He took his job. Because if you understand anything about what Adam was the covering for the earth. Cut and dry. I don't know what would have happened, it's speculation, if Adam had never ate. Obviously, I believe God took it in consideration. I think we would have learned about the grace of God before. But he knew Adam was going to do what he did. So, is the earth old? You betcha. How old? Who knows and who cares? It's just old. The earth is still changing. The earth is still pushing. The Andes Mountains are still growing. And they're growing because India is its own continent, technically, and it is pushing. The Himalayas, not the Andes. The Himalayas. The Andes are in South America, right? Yeah. The Himalayas. And it's pushing them, and they are growing. Because that's not where it belongs. It belongs somewhere else. Now, we're going to get into the next, however long, next several weeks, we will be getting into more things. I'm going to get you into the book of Enoch, which, and most of you here have heard me tell you before, it is quoted by Peter, it is quoted by Jude, and I believe Paul. All of the disciples taught what Enoch shared. So we're going to look at what Enoch had to say about what was going on, particularly after the fall of man. We're going to look at everything. There's things that I believe God has shown people where to find facts, but because it doesn't line up with tradition. And again, I'm all for tradition as long as it still has its purpose. When tradition no longer is holding its purpose or why we do it, it's kind of lost its value. But God has given us wisdom and knowledge, and these things have only come about in the last 40 years. So even Mr. Dake, who had made notes in his own Bible, now they call it the Dake Study Bible, and that's where I got a lot of my information for tonight. Even he didn't have this knowledge. He had no idea. They didn't have satellites from outer space that could sit there and take ultrasounds and pick up. They didn't have the machines from outer space that could sit there and they could take a picture through the water and they could see ridges. And then they could follow them right around on the land of the top of the earth. They didn't have all that. We do now. They didn't have the Hubble telescope to be launched up there in space and be taking these awesome pictures of things exploding and just awesome light shows. We do now. And so those are some of the things I'm going to be teaching you. Like I said, I wanted to start from the beginning and just go on through because a lot of people just don't know how to explain to their children where dinosaurs came from. I've sat my boys down and I said, boys, here's what the Bible had to say. Do I believe God created them? Yes. He did not create them violent. There's nothing that says that they were all violent. They became violent just as man did when sin entered in. Might be why T-Rex had short arms. He didn't need to eat meat. Maybe he ate something else. Because my point being in that is a lot of scientists and teachers believe, again, that man only ate, and according to the word, yeah, we ate the fruits and the herbs of the ground. Well, what about the animals with pointy teeth? Didn't they eat meat? And they show a baboon. And this thing's got teeth that makes a lion jealous. But he eats fruit. He will eat nuts. He will eat meat if he is pushed to it. But you know what? So will a hog. So will a chicken. So, but those are just some of the things we are going to be looking at over the course of however long. That's what Wednesday nights will be. They will be a little less formal, and I will try to have more pictures and stuff for you. I just told Jerry I didn't have a chance to get them over here, and I only had two. One of them was showing the path of the Eastern Rift, and the other one was where the Chicxulub crater impact site is. So, but there's so much more to this earth and to the Bible if we'll get in and dig into it, because there were scriptures in there talking about the foundation of the earth. Several scriptures. And how God laid them and how he formed the heavens with his hands. Not just merely be. Which I want. Oh, by the way, before I go. And the Bible says that the earth was tohu vabohu. The word was means became. It's not meaning that that's just, it means that the earth became void and desolate. So you got to be able to get in there and find out what the Hebrew word meant. What was the definition? What was the Hebrew right? What was Moses trying to say here? Because for crying out loud, Moses came from a society that they did things that we still don't know how they did. And yet we're going to sit here and say that Moses was a moron and he's just going to keep vague The Hebrew, I believe, speaks very clearly on what the intentions of God were and what took place. And he had things written down. Man decided, well, we don't understand it. Get rid of it. So, all right, well, let's stand. I trust that you have been praying for your fellow believers in this body tonight. I believe that God is doing great. He already is. That's all I can tell you. God is doing great things in his people. And when people start doing what God has for them, he hates that even worse than you just being here. So we need to keep each other prayed up and covered. Not just me, but everybody. So like I said, I want to encourage you and thank you for doing that. Because your brothers and sisters, some of them are taking a beating. And as much as we'd like to say, I'll take the beating for you, we can't do it. We can't fight their fight. It's something they have to do by themselves. And that's sometimes a hard thing for people to understand, isn't it? You got to walk your own with fear and trembling. And you may be fearful and trembling a lot. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your glorious word, for your glorious creation, the earth. Father, we thank you for creating us. Father, help us to see our role in your plan. That it is not merely just to come here, procreate, eat, sleep, and die. But that you had a purpose for creating us. First off, Lord God, I believe it's to bring you glory and honor. Lord, help us to bring our lives into order that we may bring that glory and honor to you always. And now, Father, we pray for this country. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our leaders, wisdom for our voters. Father, that people will stand up for what they believe and not receive the change that takes us away from you or that erodes the rights that the founding fathers of this country said were necessary for us to remain free, and primarily that we've removed you from our government. Father, we want leaders that will bring you back. Father, not just back in theory, but back in power, with all signs of power. And Lord, we pray for the believers of this body. We pray for strength and wisdom in them. Lord God, encouragement like they've never known before. Father, strengthen their hands to battle, or their hands to war and their fingers to battle, Father. To get into the details and pull out the things that are causing them problems. Father, I pray that you bless these here now. Go with them this week. Father, cause the rest of this week to be multiplied in effort unto them. In Jesus' name, amen. And by effort, just so I mean the benefits of your effort. I don't want your effort to have to be.